Welcome to Family Talk. We have something very special planned for you today. And Dr. Dobson and Ryan, as a way to begin, I'd like to get your take on a little piece that our guests Bill and Pam Farrell put in their book. This section is called Why It's Great to Be a Man.
Oh, I agree already. Yeah.
I live with three sons and a husband, so I'm curious to
see
how you respond.
We're both in trouble, Ryan.
Okay. Number one, they know stuff about tanks.
I like that.
Yeah. Do you?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Number two, a five-day trip requires only one suitcase. I cannot imagine that. Number three, we can open all our own jars. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Number four, we can go to the restroom without a support group. Mm-hmm. And lastly, Christmas shopping can be accomplished for 25 people on Christmas Eve in 45 minutes. I've seen that in my house, so I attest that that's true for you guys.
I have completed that myself. Yeah.
It does hit pretty close to home for me too, Luann. If our listeners have not guessed, the topic for today's program will focus on male and female relationships.
And I'm already a little outnumbered here,
yeah,
so
you,
I'm glad Pam
really
has joined us.
Yeah. Hey, but wait, hold down the fort. You know, it's usually
right.
It's the guys with a bunch of girls talking about relationships and
yeah,
discussions.
So. It's a fun topic. And more importantly, we want to talk about why the unique characteristics between masculinity and femininity are a source or can be the source of friction and conflict between husbands and wives. Our guests are Bill and Pam Farrell, who are authors of more than 30 books. But one of those books we're going to talk about today, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And that is a very provocative title, and I'm going to ask you to explain it.
Our guests today, Bill and Pam Farrell. Bill has been a senior pastor for many years. Most recently was on staff at Shadow Mountain Community Church, and now you are speaking and writing full-time. Mm-hmm. You have a master's in divinity from Talbot, which is my alma mater, Biola.
Yay!
Biola. That's right. And as we said earlier, you, by the end of the year, will have finished your 35th book on marriage and parenting. That's amazing. 35 mm-hmm. books.
You know, and it's interesting because, a lot of people out there listening are asking the question, well, how did you get into that? And in my 20s, if you told me I was going to be an author, I would have laughed at you.
He was a math major as his undergrad.
Yeah, because I didn't see it coming at all. And it's just one of those things when God orchestrates your life and you start to see what he wants you to do, you accomplish more. I don't know how else to say it. You know, you look at guys who get a lot done and you think, how come they're getting so much more done? Well, they're getting more done in that area because it's where God's called you to.
And what you write about is unique, and certainly the book we're going to talk about today is not only has an unusual title, but unusual content. You and I have done a program together before, haven't we?
We have.
Right,
yeah, it was called Red Hot Monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty racy
sizzle.
Stuff.
Yeah. Spark, sizzle, pizzazz. But, you know, that's what the audience wants. They want to hear what God's perspective is. On that very important topic.
Well, let's talk about spaghetti and waffles, and you're going to have to explain that. I know what it means, but tell our listeners.
Well, and it really grew out of our passion to help couples at a realistic level because we know God created us male and female. We know those differences are good because they both reflect the image of God. But my experience working as a pastor is that the average couple had no idea how to work with their differences. Like men know. Yeah, I know my wife's a woman. I'm glad she looks like a woman. Mm-hmm. I just wish she thought more like a man. Mm-hmm. And so since we know that's never going to happen, we started looking for a way to help men and women realistically. And because I know that men love food, I thought, well, maybe if we use a food analogy, people will get it. And so I'll start with the men. If you were to diagram the way men process information in life, it looks like the top of a waffle. There's a bunch of boxes. All those boxes are separated from one another by walls. And the way we as men process issues, the first issue goes in the first box, second issue goes in the second box, third issue goes in the third box, and so on. Mm-hmm. And we as men, we spend time in one box at a time. So when a man is at work, he is at work. And when a man is in the yard doing yard work, he is in the yard doing yard work. When a man's watching TV, he's watching TV.
Thank you. So that when you're sitting there and your spouse says, "What are you thinking about?" Mm-hmm. And the TV is on,
right?
It's always going to be about TV.
It's the TV. Yeah. It's right. Like, hello. Yeah.
I love the DVR because I can now push pause
right.
and say, "Would you like to talk?"
Right.
Because I know it. She doesn't want to talk about what I'm thinking about TV.
Yeah.
But there is something there.
I do think that DVR has saved many a marriage now. Yes. Yeah.
Well, and it's beneficial. It gets us in trouble all at the same time because men are problem solvers. Hmm. So when there's a problem to be solved, it's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. But when our wives want to talk and we go into problem solving mode, it's not a good thing.
Okay, Pam, what's spaghetti all about?
You know, social scientists have said for a long time that men compartmentalize and women integrate, but nobody really talks like that. And so if you look at the way our mind works, it's a lot like looking at one noodle laying on a plate of spaghetti. If you follow that noodle around that plate of spaghetti, it looks like it touches pretty much every other noodle on the plate. And that's why we women, we process life by traveling through making emotional connections to the people and things that matter most to us. And so by nature, we're really great at multitasking. Mm-hmm. I mean, we might be on the phone talking to our girlfriend and our life's all falling apart. We're like, "Oh, honey, you should turn into family talk because I think the Dobsons could really help you." At the same time, we're making our Christmas card list and our grocery list and our to-do list for our husband and our 8 kids. We're telling kids in sign language to quit fighting. Can't you see I'm on the phone? Got a load in the washer. Load in the dryer. We're cooking dinner. We can open and shut the oven door with our foot. And we're amazing multitaskers. It comes with the estrogen.
Well, and not even just multitaskers, but multi-thinkers. Yes. I can't tell you the number of times my husband will say something and that'll trigger a thought to me, which makes perfect sense because it reminded me of this, of this, of this, of this.
Exactly.
And he's like, "Where did that thought come from?"
Yeah, it's not out of left field. Like you and I can track with it. That's right. Right.
You know, I have a television set in my office here. I don't know if you saw it behind me, although I didn't have it on when you were there. And I frequently will leave it on all day, but I'm not watching it. Mm-hmm. I don't even hear it. Yeah. It does not interfere with my thought process at all.
Yeah.
I can be working and it's going on. Then when something happens that gets my attention, I turn and look at it and then I'm gone because I'm compartmentalized in that way. My personal assistant will walk in the door and say something to me. And I will not have a clue as to what she said because I'm thinking about what I'm working on. Yeah. And I'll have to say, you want to say that again? Mm-hmm. Because men are like that. In other words, men are compartmentalized.
Yes.
Right.
And women want to connect everything with everything else. Mm-hmm. Is that the basic idea?
That's definitely it. And it's our explanation of Genesis 1, that God made them male and female. Mm-hmm. And for a good reason.
Do you know that for 30 years, the American culture, including the universities and the psychiatrists and all the learned people about behavior, didn't accept those differences?
Oh, I know. We read study after study after study that it would explain the differences, but then they would say in the very synopsis, but we can evolve to become the same. And
it's the way they were raised. That's what they're
saying,
is that parents tend to make boys like boys and girls like girls, and really boys ought to be more like girls and girls ought to be more like boys. And that drove me crazy.
Yes.
And I began in the early 70s writing about the foolishness of this notion. I mean, males and females have a different chromosomal pattern in every cell of their bodies. How can we be the same if our DNA is different and yet the most learned people have tried to make that case that we're not really different? And I think it was for political reasons, to be honest.
I'm sure
that's the origin of it. But you're getting at the basic genetic inborn characteristics of males and females.
And it goes back to when they're really young, too. Like some of the studies that we read were a little bit humorous. Like they brought all of the boys into first they brought all the little girls into a room with a trampoline and they said, "Play with the trampoline." They didn't give them any rules, but the girls automatically set up a very even social system. So every little girl got the same amount of time on the trampoline. Someone was a timekeeper. Everybody's feelings, nobody's got their feelings hurt. But then they brought all the boys in.
And all the boys jumped up on the trampoline at the same time and started pushing each other off, and the last guy on the trampoline got the longest turn, as it should be,
survival
right?
Fittest.
I have a son, and our neighbor has a trampoline. I see that all the time. This is one thing I want to say at the beginning, though. what you're describing, you're not saying one is better and one is worse. It's just different.
It's just different.
If you can understand the differences, embrace them.
Right.
It can make your relationship so much stronger instead of trying to just change the other person to be something they were genetically not designed to be.
Exactly.
But this is the key question. So what?
Right.
Why does this create conflict? Mm-hmm. Why is there tension between males and females over that factor?
Right. Yeah. We like to say men are like waffles and like spaghetti. Let's make those differences work for us rather than against us. But we find out that most people don't know what the differences mean when they play out in everyday life. They just are mad at their husband. Like, why don't you listen to me when I walk in the room when you're watching a football game? Or the wife. Like, why can't you just shortcut your conversations? I don't need to have like all the details. Cliff notes, please. And so we don't know that it goes back to the way that we're wired by God. And we don't understand the
And when we don't know what to do, we try to make the other person like us. So a man that looks at his wife and go, I have no idea what to do with this woman, so I'm just going to try to make her like me. I'm going to try to shorten her conversations. I'm going to try to make her more of a bottom line person. I'm going to be more logical with her. I'm going to dismiss a lot of her reactions to life. And when you try to change somebody from who they basically are, they push back. And so we see it all the time in marriage. I'm trying to make you better, but then I'm getting pushback from you. You're trying to make me better. I'm pushing back. And it just creates this wrestling match between husbands and wives.
And you're also trying to fix whatever is bothering her. And sometimes she doesn't want you to fix it.
In fact, the way this title came about, I got a phone call from a guy and he said, Bill, can I bring my wife in to see you? I think she's broken. And I was intrigued.
I went, fix her.
Yeah, bring her in. Let's find out. So, and to his credit, she is probably the most verbal woman I've ever met. She was just off the charts. So they came to my office, sat down. He looked at her and said, go ahead. And so, then she started talking.
She went from subject to subject to subject to subject. And 55 minutes later, first he looked at her like, he looked at Bill and said, help me here.
She does this all the time. I think she's broken. And I knew about the research that women like to connect and integrate all their thinking. Men like to compartmentalize. But I know the average guy doesn't think that way. So I said to him, well, think about her conversation like a plate of spaghetti. And as soon as she's touched every noodle on that plate, she'll be done.
And she's actually connecting her life to you. And it's a compliment that she wants to have her life connected to you. So Bill taught him some listening skills. So probably for the first time, he actually sat back and listened with some interest. And at the end of 55 minutes, she finally breathed. And she leaned back. She's like, oh, that was so great.
Yeah.
Okay, if I'm like spaghetti, what's he like? And Bill said,
I said, well, you know, we're out of time for today. Because I kind of made up the illustration on the spot. So I said, we're going to meet in 2 weeks. I'll tell you then.
And so Bill started praying, Lord, I need an illustration for men that has to do with food, has to do with compartments. Right. And our boys one day were making Eggo waffles and up popped a waffle.
And I said, I think that'll work. And so I met this couple. I explained to her, hey, he's going to think about one subject at a time. He's going to compartmentalize his thinking like a box on a waffle. And whatever subject he brings up, you have to stay on. And there was this conflict in their marriage that he'd been trying to bring up. But as soon as he brought it up, she'd bring up four or five other things, and he would get frustrated and just quit. And there in my office, I made her stay on the subject he was bringing up, and they solved it in my office. And I went, there's something here.
Yeah.
That when they adjusted to each other, both of their needs got met.
I remember I had some girl problem in high school, and I went to – my dad was – I think he were out of town. And so I told my mom about it, and she said, oh, that's – well, when I was in high school, Ryan, she started relating to a story, and I remember thinking – this is going to sound totally rude. I remember thinking, I don't care what happened to you in high school. Fix my problem. Where's Dad? I remember calling you going, oh, my goodness, Mom told me a story about her and a boy. And I just wanted my dad to come in as a guy, tell me what to do that will make this go away.
Yes, that's she where was we live. Telling you something very important.
She was. Yeah. And you taught me that day. I remember telling you that, and you said, you need to listen. Just listen to your mom. She is getting – to the point, but she talks in a different way. She's helping you solve that in a completely different way. That opened up a huge avenue of conversations with my mom.
In your book, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti, you explain why men like those boxes. It's not only genetic, but we're comfortable there. Why?
Yeah, guys like to live in, dwell in, camp out in boxes they feel very successful in or comfortable. And they like to avoid boxes they don't feel successful in.
If I had to sum up what makes a guy tick, guys like to do what they know they can succeed at. So if I know I'm good at work, I want to be at work. If I know I'm good at athletics, I want to spend time there. If I'm good working with my hands, I want to do that kind of stuff. If I'm good with music, I want to spend time in music. And guys thrive in that environment. And on the other side, if we get to something we aren't good at, like a lot of men, they try the communication thing with their wives, conclude they're not very good at it, and lose interest.
They get out-talked.
Right. And once a man concludes, I'm not very good at this, his motivation just disappears to ever go back there.
Mm-hmm. Or if his wife is angry all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he comes home and she's saying, I've been in this mess all day. You don't care. You come home, you won't talk to me. He hears a little bit of that and goes back in a box.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely go. And that's why I think so many men have workaholism is because they can succeed at work. But then when they come home, they get criticized. And, well, I wouldn't want to come home either, you know. And so when Bill was a senior pastor, he used to come home and I would say, did you do this? Did you do that? Because I'm like wanting to help him. But it sounded a lot like it was a checklist. And so when Bill sat down and said, if you could just reword that for me, Pam, instead of you need or you should or did you, just ask me about my day. And when I would do that, then he wanted to come home. And in the same way, if he were a few minutes late, it would be really easy to be frustrated because he was late. But I learned early on that if I would compliment him when he walked in from being late and say something like, wow, I bet you really helped somebody today. I bet you ran over because you're such a great listener. It would totally change the atmosphere in our house. And he would want to come home to that kind of a wife.
Pam, I've been convicted as a wife when we want to change our husbands. That sometimes it's because I want my agenda. I think of a typical Saturday when the husband and wife are together a lot. Steve will be out in the garage working on something, and I've got this list of things. We need to go to the post office, the dry cleaner, the grocery store, you know, stop by the library, all of these things to do. He's working on the car, needs to get a part. He stops, drives to a store. They don't have the part. He'll go to four stores and be gone 3 hours. I'm thinking, we could have done four errands while we're doing
that. Like it's a problem.
It is. And it's the multitasking, which is a strength, but it's my weakness because you know what? That's my agenda. And I've been very convicted of that. It's important to him to get that one spark plug that fit right there and get that done and cross it off the list. And I'm over here wanting to do mine. That's been a huge lesson for me.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why over and over again in the book, we talk about how to take turns. When you're talking about an agenda, if I set the agenda, it's going to look very different than Pam's agenda. So who's going to set it? Well, if we take turns setting the agenda, we're both going to be okay with that. Relieving stress. Pam relieves stress by talking things through. And when she's stressed, she talks fast. And now, if she assumes I relieve stress that way, we're going to be in trouble because I don't relieve stress by talking.
No, guys relieve stress by going to their favorite easy boxes. God kind of helped us out in that most of those favorite easy boxes are shaped like boxes. For example, the TV screen is shaped like a box, the computer screen is shaped like a box, the newspaper is shaped like a box, the garage is shaped like a box, football field is shaped like a box, the baseball diamond is shaped like a box, the refrigerator is shaped like a box, and the bed is shaped like a box. So that's how guys process stress. They go to their favorite easy boxes to recharge.
Like just the other day, you talked about being outnumbered here today. Well, in our office, there's a lot more women work in our office than me. And the other day, there was a lot of stuff going on and the ladies were processing. And it just got overwhelming to me. And I just had to go take a run. And after I took a run, I didn't think about anything that was going on in the office. I just took a run. When I got back, I was okay. I was ready to I was ready to process again. But if we kept talking, I'd have just gotten more stressed.
I'm thinking of Shirley, my wife, handled stress with talking, as you just indicated. So at the end of the day, right before going to sleep, she wants to talk to me about things that she's worried about. And I don't want to go to sleep with that on my mind. You know, I don't want to deal with something that is stressful to me, too. When I'm trying to go to sleep. So I will say, look, talk to me about it in the morning. We'll do it first thing in the morning. You can handle stress better when the sun's coming up than when it's gone down. Obviously, we handle stress in different ways.
And now she's got to go to sleep with the stress.
Right.
So the question is,
it really isn't fair. I ought to allow her to ventilate.
Or you
got to
take
turns.
Sometimes you go to bed stressed, and sometimes she goes to bed stressed, and that way it evens out. And that's reality.
Yeah.
In a marriage, you don't get what you want all the time good for both of you. That we really have to serve one another.
And the interesting thing is, I'm thinking back to the analogy that the guy just wants to get the job done. If we give them that 2, 3, 4 hours to do it, we will have their attention at the end of the day, because it's out, it's done, it's checked off, and he will be ready to listen to us.
And we feel successful. And when we feel successful because we got it done, we're good for more.
That's easier to live with.
But if we didn't get that task done, now it's hanging all day long. It got replaced with other things. Not only did you get your agenda done, but it interrupted mine.
We're almost out of time, and there's a lot more to talk about here. But you talk about the empty box here. Explain what in the world that is.
Well, there's a few boxes. Well, there are a few boxes in every man's waffle where there's thoughts rolling around, but they don't turn into sentences. So sometimes men just make noises. You know, So, you know, two guys like Ryan and I could pass each other, nod our head and go, hey. And we bonded for the day. Like, we're okay with that. But then a few of the boxes on every man's waffle are actually completely blank. There's no thoughts. There's no sentences. There's nothing. And we as men, we park in those blank boxes periodically. It's part of how we relieve stress. It's part of how we were born. And we just will think nothing at times. And every time we get in those blank boxes, the most significant woman in our life asks us the dreaded question.
So, what you thinking?
And we tried telling the truth. We said nothing.
Nothing.
And the response we get is, well, you can't be thinking nothing.
Yeah,
you have to be thinking something. So what is it?
Yeah.
And part of our ministry is to tell the world that every man I know has the ability to think absolutely nothing.
And he's resting during that time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, that's what it's all about. He's all worn out, and he doesn't want to deal with anything.
Right. And as men, it's confusing to us when women bring it up, because we've been doing this our whole life. So we really didn't know it was a problem until we met her. Uh-huh. And she started bringing it up.
And a lot of times we misinterpret the delay. We're like, you didn't tell me what you're really thinking. You're just making something up now.
Yeah.
Right. They were just really thinking nothing.
And, you know, it's funny to talk about it, but it's caused a lot of problems in marriages. Like I remember when we first started teaching this principle, I would teach a couple that this was true. And almost always the woman would say to me, no, I don't think you're telling me the truth. I think you're just on his side ganging up on me. And it wasn't until we started telling it to crowds and the whole male population in the group would respond. And the women would look around and go, wow, it's all of you. You really? You can really think nothing?
It feels like an excuse, though. I mean,
see,
as a woman, you're thinking, oh, you just don't want to tell me.
Right.
But it's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse.
I wish I could have a blank box sometimes, actually.
You know, believe it or not, a blank box for me is football. During football season, because 3 or 4 days later, I can't remember who won. So it really wasn't all that important, but I rest during those times.
Yes.
And basketball for you, I'm sure, is a little bit like that, too, because I know you have a basketball love you used to play.
And I do.
So I found out early in life, if I would send Bill out when we were stressed, if I would send Bill out to his second favorite box, basketball, if he would shoot some hoops, and while he was gone, if I would journal out my feelings, not only would Bill be a better listener when he got back, I was also a better communicator, because he wasn't hit with the whole tsunami effect of like all my emotions. God had some of those emotions and helped me download my files, so it didn't overwhelm Bill when he walked in.
Our guests today have been Bill and Pam Farrell, who've written nearly 35 books and are working on more. The title of this one that we're talking about is Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. I think people understand the point. And in fact, the subtitle for this book is Understanding and Delighting in Your Differences. You have to be able to comprehend who your spouse is. Then you can meet the needs of that individual, and maybe your own will get met. It is good to have you all with us again.
Thank you.
This is a very practical book, and we're going to make it available to our listeners. And you keep sending us the books that you're coming out with.
Thank you.
God's blessings to you both. And may He continue to use you in helping couples understand and make the most out of marriage.
Thank you.
Well, this has been a lot of fun today, but hopefully we've been able to bring listeners some really practical ideas for strengthening that most important relationship that we have with another person.
Luann, that's what we're all about here at Family Talk, strengthening families. And of course, a strong marriage is the foundation of a strong family. If you would like a copy of the Farrell's book, you can get it here. Once again, the title is Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. Request that at myfamilytalk.com or call us at 877-732-6825.
And when you go to the broadcast page at myfamilytalk.com, look for the links that we have there to Bill and Pam Farrell's website. Mm-hmm. You can learn more about their ministry and even find out if they'll be speaking somewhere near your home. Again, all of that, myfamilytalk.com.
Thanks for tuning in today, and please be sure to return next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, everyone. I'm Ryan Dobson, and you're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I can't tell you how much I love my job. I get to wake up every day to work alongside my dad while we fight for families and for our culture. But we need your financial support to keep doing so. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org, via our Family Talk smartphone app, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825, or find all the information you need about donating at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for listening.